So we shall do Parsha, and again, for Shlema for Yonah El Yakim ben Ketelchaya. So when you hit Tazria Mitzora, it's very popular for people to do one of two things. Either grab the beginning of Tazria, which talks about Bris Mila, and, you know, Shiram and Divrei Torah about Bris Mila, or alternatively to talk about Lashon Hara, because the Gemara does connect Lashon Hara with Tzara'as. The Gemara also connects other Averos with Tzara'as, but Lashon Hara is the one that gets all the headlines. I think one of the reasons for that is because it's the one that's most blatant in the Chumash, right? When in Chumash do we directly connect Lashon Hara with Tzara'as?
Miriam
and Aharon, I should note. As the Mefarshim point out, it says, "Vayicharav Hashem bam." Hashem displayed anger at them. So Aaron had it also, but Aaron's resolves right away because he's not the initiator of the Lashon Hara, he's the listener. But in any case, that plus the idea that Mitzora is a contraction of Motzi Shem Ra, someone who gives somebody a bad reputation. So things like that support the idea that Lashon Hara in particular is associated with Tzara. So what people do is they get to Tazria Mitzora, they talk about Lashon Hara. Which, you know, that's fine. It's a pretty standard topic. But I wanted to go in a little bit of a different direction. Don't worry, it will come back to Lashon Hara. But I wanted to go in a little bit of a different direction with it, and that's talk about, in Parshas Mitzora, how the Mitzora becomes purified. As part of the process, the Mitzora brings three karbanos. And I brought... Yeah.
Is that the same across the board, no matter how they got Tzara'as?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So if you take a look, it's the first source here on the Parsha section. And on the eighth day, he has a seven-day count, and on the eighth day, he shall take two unblemished sheep and a yearling unblemished ewe. And the Kohen shall take the one sheep and bring it as an asham, along with a log of oil. A log is a liquid volume measure. If you're familiar with the revius, so revius means a quarter. It's a quarter log. So that means the log of oil is somewhere in the range of 12 ounces. And he shall slaughter the sheep where he slaughtered the chatas and the ola. So he has an asham and a chatas and an ola. And my question is, why does he need three different karbanos? I understand why you need a chatas, right? Someone who gets a tzara'as. Let's be clear. The chatas is a sin offering. He sinned. So he brings a sin offering. Alternatively, sometimes a chatas is not about an avera at all. Sometimes a chatas is just because there's a need for purification from a state of being tame to being tahor. And the Gemara says, so a chatas doesn't mean they sinned. It just means a korban that one brings using the same rituals that we associate with a chatas. So, for example, you may have heard, it's in the beginning of Tazria actually, that a woman gives birth. After she gives birth, after a certain period of time, she brings a karban. She brings a karban chatas as part of this. And that does not mean that she has sinned in any way, shape, or form. However, she needs it for purification purposes to end the period of Tumah in order to be able to eat karbanos again. You do find nice divrei or not so nice divrei Torah, depending on whether you like them or not, that talk about maybe there was a sin when she was in labor and she said things that weren't nice or whatever it was. But the simple explanation, the pshat explanation in the Gemara itself is that it's because of purification. So I understand the chatas. Chatas is either he sinned or purification. I understand the ola as well. An ola is burned entirely on the mizbeach. They shecht it, and they take off the hide, and then the flesh of it goes on the mizbeach. It is in a total gift. You get no benefit from it at all. The hide goes to the kohanim. The person who brings it isn't getting anything, and it's a way to express regret. Ola overall is a demonstration of a desire to draw close to Hashem. That's what a karban ola is about in general. So, fine. But why a karban asham? A karban asham is just another form of atonement karban, and you already did that with chatas. Not only that, the asham has a particularly strange service done with it. As part of this service, they take the oil and they take some of the blood of the karban and they put it on his body, on his person. Like, why? What is that about? And the psukim in Vayikra, I didn't bring you the whole section, but if you were to open up a chumash and see it, you would see the psukim are really devoted to the asham. Like, that's the main thing that's going on here. Why is that? So I think I'm going to bring you multiple approaches, but I think it'll teach us a lesson about the importance of how we use our speech by the time we get to the third approach out of the three that we'll bring. Clear? Understand the question. Okay. So the first approach is the Metzara needs three karbanos because he has three different atonement needs. Ramban says, there's a similar idea in the Nitziv in Hamegdavar. He says the karban asham is for the Avera that led to the Tzaras in the first place. I brought it for you in source number 2. You could actually see it there. I translated it. He says perhaps the asham atones for his abuse of holy items, which he performed before he received the mark. I'm going to come back to what that means, abuse of holy items. We're going to get to that. But the point is, he sinned before he got the tzaras. That's what got him here. That's what you are atoning for with the asham. Whereas the chatas, he says, is for the sin he performed during his period with the mark, meaning he's suffering from tzaras. He has to sit outside the camp. Everybody is shaming him that he has to be outside of the camp. He's angry and he rebels against God. Like, he doesn't just take it lying down. And that, therefore, he needs to bring a chatas to atone for whatever he might have said when he actually was suffering. And then, and that fits the pasuk, because it says in the pasuk, it is part of atoning mitumaso, from his tumah, meaning with the state when he was a mitzvah. And then the ola, he says, as well as the flower offering that comes with it, those atone for his life to merit to be purified and to return home. It's kofar nafsho. It allows him to be able to go back home to return to life. So he has two different atonements, one for the avera that got him tzaras, one for the avera during his tzaras, and then overall this karban ola that he brings that enables him to go home. That's Ramban's view. Abarbanel also takes it in three different directions. He says one of the types of a karban asham that a person brings is called an asham talui. Does anybody know what an asham talui is for? Asham talui is if a person thinks they did something wrong, but they're not 100% sure. They ate some meat that might have been treif. They found out later. They didn't know at the time. And now they don't know if they sinned or not, so they bring an asham talui. It's a carbon for uncertainty. So Abarbanel says that's like what's going on here. Sometimes a person might get tzaras, but they don't remember what they did that deserved it. So they bring the asham because of what might have earned it. They bring the chatas if there's an avera that they knew about. They still have to bring both, even though both may not apply to them. And then the ola is to help them get closer to Hashem. So this is all one school of thought that says three different types of atonement are needed. Three different karbanos. If you can't remember which one is which, and number 6, I gave you the breakdown. With the bulleted points at the bottom. Second approach, the sin of Lashon Hara has unique severity. Chatas is for generic sin. For the overachiever, there's the asham. The asham is for people who did things that are really bad. I brought you in source number 4, this is the idea of Yaakov Mecklenburg, Haksav HaKabbalah. There are 5 different types of asham, separate from the asham talui. The asham talui is not part of this collection. The one is an asham for a person who was accused of holding somebody else's money, somebody else's property, and he denied it falsely, and he swore falsely, and then he got caught. You gave somebody your car to watch, and then you came back for it, and you said, "Where's my car?" And he says either, "I don't know what you're talking about," or he says, "Yes, yeah, somebody stole it," or whatever it is. In the meantime, it's sitting in his garage. And he swore to it, so he has to bring this karban asham. Second kind is called shifcha charufa. I don't want to go into that at length because it's a very challenging case to describe, but basically it involves impropriety with a woman who was a maid, a shifcha.
Do you go right after you do whatever sin you did, you then say, "Oh, I have to go bring a korban"? Like, how does that work?
So, a korban for sin requires vidui. They have to admit what they've done wrong and do tshuva. Otherwise, there's no point to bringing the korban.
Okay.
So it's a process. Yeah,
I'm just curious if we would turn it into modern day life, and it'd be like, out, you would have to take it into account, like, oh, no, I have to go to get the carbon down.
Yeah. Yeah. The it's a whole process. And, I mean, it's only for de'oraisas and certain de'oraisas. Like, it's not so easy to end up bringing a carbon.
Oh.
Yeah. It isn't like these things come up for people.
Specified. Like, there's so many different things that you do that I would think it's so easy.
Yeah. But it's, it has to be a violation of a de'oraisa, and generally it has to be b'shogeg, right, an accidental thing. The third one is if a nazir becomes tameh. So part of their process, they bring an asham as well. But these three are unique. I just said to Indy just now that you only bring a karban to atone if what you did was accidental. These first three are where it was mazed, where it was intentional. So these are unique, and they're clearly very serious because these are intentional sin. Normally, you can't bring a karban for an intentional sin. These are special cases. The fourth one is me'ila. Me'ila is if you use that which has been dedicated for the Beis HaMikdash or for a karban, you use it for yourself. Making personal use of consecrated property is a very grave thing. You're using Hashem's property. And then finally, the mitzora. So the Ksava Kabbalah of Mecklenburg says Asham is for the overachiever, the person who did things that were really, really bad. There's a generic chatas, accidental sin, happens, people make mistakes. And then there's the Asham for people who did something that was truly terrible, like these intentional sins, like using that which had been dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mitzvah is in that class. The reason why you need an Asham is because what you did was even worse. Why? Lashon Hara. That's the that's his explanation. That is even worse than your standard issue Avera. And then the last idea, and this comes from Rav Avadya Sforno. He goes back to a point which Ramban hinted at as well, which is the idea of Mi'ila. He points out that you have an Asham for Mi'ila. Mi'ila is the term for use of Beis HaMikdash property for yourself, abuse of Hashem's property. And he says, an Asham is brought for using God's property. It's an insult to God. That's effectively what it is. And he says the same thing is true for the sins that bring about tzara'as. He highlights Lashon Hara and arrogance, which is also mentioned as a source for tzara'as. He says, when a person speaks badly about others, it tends to be something that they whisper. They say, they do in private, right? I'm talking to somebody else and they say something not nice, acting as though God isn't there. God can't hear me now. I'm just talking to somebody in private. If a person is arrogant, like they're holding themselves up like they're great, so the Gemara talks about that as being like pushing the legs of God when you do that. Like you're saying, like, you know, I am wonderful, and like pushing God out of the space. So Avadya Sforno, I brought it in number 5, but I'm not going to read it aloud. He says that that the acts that bring about tzara'as are acts that are effectively co-opting God's status for yourself. It's like me'ila. And that's why there's an asham. It's an asham me'ilos. I would go a step further than he does and point out speech is introduced in the Chumash, according to the Midrash, when it says Hashem breathes breath into the human being. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, vayi ha'adam le'nefesh chaya. People became nefesh chaya, says Onkelos there, Rashi quotes it, ruach memalala, a speaking spirit. Hashem breathes into us the ability to speak. It's a unique gift from Hashem. The person who speaks inappropriately is taking Hashem's property, the power of speech, and using it for their own ends. That is an act of me'ila. You've taken God's power of speech and used it for your own mundane purposes, for your personal profit. And that, to me, is why the avoda is so personal here. They take the oil and they take the blood of the carbon, they put it on him physically, because that's what he's done. He has personally abused the property of Hashem, and now he needs that physical atonement. So, to turn this into a short dvartar that you can give at your table more easily, as opposed to all three different approaches, but why does he need a karban asham, and why is it so personal? And he already has the chatas, he already has the ola. One of the roles of the asham is for me'ila, for using Hashem's property for yourself. A person who takes their speech and uses that for their own selves uses that for their self-aggrandizement, uses it to tear down somebody else, that is an act of abusing that which is holy, and therefore it needs not just the regular sin offering, and not just the gift to Hashem of the Olah, but this unique Karban Asham that is associated with Me'ilah. Clear?
Thank you.
Thank you.